You are listening to Western Iowa's information leader, KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones, here with your midday news for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. Fuel prices in Iowa were mostly unchanged from last week in the latest report from the Iowa Department of Agriculture and AAA Iowa. As of Wednesday, May 1st, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline was $3.30, 2 cents higher than last week and 10 cents below prices from a year ago. The national average for gasoline held steady at $3.66 per gallon. Retail diesel prices in Iowa fell 3 cents on the week to $3.72 per gallon, compared to $3.88 per gallon 12 months ago. Local prices remain 29 cents below the $4.01 national average for diesel. Wholesale ethanol held steady at $2.16. In heating fuels, natural gas prices at the Henry Hub reporting site slid 4 cents to $1.92 per MMBTU. St. Anthony Regional Foundation to receive a critical access hospital designation has been approved by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. In a message to staff last week, St. Anthony President and CEO Alan Anderson announced the process was finally completed with an effective date of March 18, 2024. Anderson explains what led to the decision to pursue that critical access hospital designation.
Really, it was our hospital association reaching out to us back in November of 2022 is when that process started. Just from a, hey, I think you qualify for it at this standpoint. We then went through the education piece of it on understanding the actual impact. So there were some third-party vendors, there was some internal team members that really helped with that process. But the actual application came in April of 23, yeah. But that's when that process really started. The application process really started was April of 23, and we've been working on it since then.
Anderson says the application process was extensive and required input from staff at all levels of the hospital.
Well, from CMS's standpoint, it was really just to understand if we met the requirement for this critical access designation. Then the state surveyors really took over from that. So we worked with our state regulators on that, all the way from policy creation to that state survey to make sure that we were following the conditions of participation in that Medicare program.
The criteria list for the critical access hospital designation is lengthy, most notably a 25-bed limit on the number of inpatient beds and average length of stay for inpatient care of 96 hours or less. Anderson says there were questions and concerns from patients early in the application process who were worried about the critical access designation, that it would somehow affect the quality of care at St. Anthony. The answer to that question has remained the same from the get-go.
From the average patient, they shouldn't see any change in care. In fact, as you look at the evolution of healthcare, it's become much more of that outpatient type of mentality. Now, we're always going to have an inpatient hospital. We will always be a hospital. But the definition of a hospital has really changed through that evolution. And so we've been more focused on that outpatient growth on that outpatient side. So really lifting up our primary care, lifting up some of the specialists that support that primary care from a delivery standpoint. We are excited to have some growth opportunities in orthopedics, in OB, some of that specialty care. We'll always be a hospital, like I said, but really that focus on that outpatient is now where our attention will turn.
The most significant changes will be on the back end when it comes to compensation to the hospital for treatments of patients on Medicare. Chief Financial Officer Eric Salmonson says payments for Medicare will now more closely reflect the actual cost of providing care.
Under this cost-based reimbursement model, as inflation continues to hit all industries, especially healthcare, we're able to pass some of those inflationary increases we're seeing to the government in terms of additional reimbursement. Over the last 3 years, the government has increased our reimbursement 7.5%. Our costs are up 17.5%. So this model allows us to have additional reimbursement to help offset some of those cost increases. So that's one of those improvements that we're really looking forward to.
Anderson adds the biggest takeaway from the critical access hospital designation is it makes St. Anthony's financial future more secure.
I think this designation is one way that we can improve that financial stability. We have some operational things that we do need to continue to work on and focus in on, but this is one big key component in that independence that I talked about. So it is significant for St. Anthony.
Again, Anderson stresses St. Anthony's focus remains squarely on providing high-quality care to residents, and patients should not notice any difference in services following the designation's approval. And the 60-plus group out of Wall Lake has been awarded a $5,000 grant to purchase groceries to continue to enjoy nutritious meals and spend time with friends. This group and more come down to the community center in Wall Lake close to every single day to have a meal provided by the Elderbridge Agency on Aging. Still, due to the increasing number of participants and the high price of groceries, funding started to run low faster than originally budgeted for. Through the Farm Credit Services of America's Working Here Fund grant program, adequate food supplies can now be purchased to continue to provide meals to these individuals. The FCS program supports nonprofit organizations focusing on ag education, hunger and nutrition, and rural disaster relief or essential services. Elderbridge provides this meal to seniors who may not be able to cook for themselves as much, prompting community engagement by getting them out of the house and socializing with other residents in the surrounding area. The 60-plus group also has volunteers who take the time to drive meals to individuals in Wall Lake, Auburn, and Lakeview who cannot get out of their house but would still like a home-cooked dinner. The participants want to thank FCS of America for choosing them to receive that funding to assist with groceries and help keep food on the table. And we are going to be stepping away here for just a moment, folks. Stick around. We've got more news on the way right after this on KCIM.
Jacobson Seed. Family owned and operated for more than 85 years. But why is it important for you to do business with a family owned seed company? At Jacobson Seed, we are proud of our family owned heritage. Our commitment goes beyond just selling seed. It's about cultivating relationships and sharing our passion for growth. It's about treating you like a member of our family. Our roots run deep with generations of knowledge and expertise that we pour into every seed we sell. Jacobson Seed, your American veteran, family owned seed company.
Raccoon Valley Electric Cooperative urges you to use care this planting season to ensure safety for everyone. Keep equipment at least 10 feet from power lines and use a spotter when operating large machinery near power lines. Never attempt to move a power line to clear a path. Your safety and the safety of all those around you is important. So look up and live. Raccoon Valley Electric Cooperative wishes you a safe and successful planting season.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst has announced staff traveling office hours planned for May, including stops in all 99 Iowa counties. Ernst's regional directors will be available for constituents to assist Iowans with problems or questions about issues involving Social Security, veterans benefits, military affairs, passports, immigration issues, and other federal programs. Three counties, Carroll, Crawford, and Greene, are slated for Tuesday, May 7th. Staff begins in Schleswig at Schleswig City Hall from 11 a.m. to noon. They then head to Carroll at the Chamber of Commerce office from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. before ending the day's schedule in our region at the Greene County Courthouse from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. The Wednesday, May 8th schedule includes a visit to Audubon from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Audubon Public Library and Guthrie Center at the Mary J. Barnett Memorial Library from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Staff will be in Calhoun County at City Hall in Rockwell City from 2 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, May 9th. The final stop in the area is in Sac County on Tuesday, May 21st at Lakeview City Hall from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ernst says, "Assisting Iowans is a top priority for me. That's why my staff is bringing our office to you this May. Don't hesitate to stop by when members of my team are in your area." Ernst will not be at the traveling office hours. Iowans unable to attend the in-person events can request casework help at ernst.senate.gov. The full schedule of planned staff traveling office hours in Iowa can be found with this story on our website. Residents in Lakeview will soon have the opportunity to get rid of unwanted items during the community's annual citywide cleanup day. On May 6th and 7th, Rudd Sanitation and city staff will drive around Lakeview picking up approved items to safely dispose of them for community residents. City Administrator Teresa Pudens says this is a perfect opportunity for those doing a little spring cleaning.
We always do cleanup days, usually like the first few weeks in May, and we've had a lot of people asking about it for this year, so we've finally got all the details lined up. Our Lakeview Citywide Cleanup Days will be held on Monday and Tuesday, May 6th and 7th. So anyone wishing to participate in cleanup days must complete an application and return it to City Hall no later than Friday, May 3rd at noon.
Applications can be picked up at the Lakeview City office. All items must be placed on the curb by 7 a.m. on the cleanup days. Crews will only pass each residence once and will only pick up items from residents who have filled out the application and paid the $10 fee. Putin says items wanting to be picked up will need to be sorted.
Items must be sorted into three different piles. One would be metal, two would be wood, and three would be general rubbish. Construction and remodeling debris will not be accepted. Residents with construction and remodeling debris must make arrangements to dispose of this privately. So we recommend you contacting our sanitation provider, Rudd Sanitation, and make those arrangements.
Tires, paint, and hazardous materials will also not be accepted. Putin says appliances will be accepted also, but they do require an additional sticker and application for each.
They have to get a sticker, will be required for the disposal of appliances, and that cost is going to be $20 each, which those stickers can be purchased at City Hall. Stickers are going to be required for washers, dryers, stoves, refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, microwaves, dehumidifiers, water heaters, TVs, computer monitors, air conditioners, and furnaces.
Putin also wants residents to know that on Monday, May 6th, the Iowa State Bank will provide free paper shredding from 10 a.m. to noon at its bank in Lakeview. Again, any Lakeview resident wishing to participate and have items picked up during the citywide cleanup days is asked to fill out an application by Friday, May 3rd at noon. And Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd is co-leading a 21-state coalition against the Biden administration's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives over a new rule that the states claim effectively banned gun sales. The ATF's new rule broadens the definition of a firearms dealer and would require Iowans to register as a federal firearms licensee to sell even a single gun between family members. Failure to comply could result in severe penalties, including potential prison time. The rule also changes what constitutes a transaction, as exchanges of property or services would also be considered gun sales. The lawsuit challenges the rule's constitutionality, citing violations of the Second Amendment and the Administrative Procedure Act. Byrd says it's clear that Biden will stop at nothing to criminalize law-abiding citizens for exercising their Second Amendment rights. As a prosecutor, I see his administration looking the other way when it comes to prioritizing going after gang members and violent felons with guns. Instead, he targets law-abiding firearm owners. It's wrong for Biden to force Iowans to become licensed firearm dealers just to sell a gun to a friend or family member. I'm taking Biden to court to stand up for Iowans' Second Amendment rights. Iowa co-led the lawsuit with Kansas and Montana with support from 18 other states. The suit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Arkansas and can be found included with this story on our website. And that is going to be wrapping up your KCIM Midday News for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. For these stories and many more, check us out online by following us on Facebook and X, on the web at 1380kcim.com, or through the Carroll Broadcasting mobile app. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.